thank the elders for inviting us to this place. Thank Brother Springfield for writing us the invitation. And we are glad to be in the company and in the midst of the Church of Christ, struggling to do great work like you are in this great state. Church of Christ in this great city, lifting Christ up, have drawn many people to Christ. And I'm sure that in this great number, there are those of you that are not members of the Church of Christ. And in this service today, we hope something will be said, something be taught that will cause you to have a different conception of the Church of Christ. When people understand the Church of Christ like they ought, they will agree with them. We do tell people that the Church of Christ, and we do it with respect and love, is the only church that the Bible speaks of by name. No other church has its name in the Bible but the Church of Christ. No other church. You go to the Bible to look for it, it's not there. Several people have responded to the invitation in this meeting. This morning, several. They had to learn just what the Lord wanted them to do, and they were willing to surrender, and did. Brother Springfield will never know what his messages meant to me and my wife as we read them over and over. We'd never receive invitations like that. He sent us an invitation, and after preaching nearly 70 years, never got an invitation with nearly 200 names on it inviting me to come. In their own hand, I'm not talking about they typed it for somebody, they wrote it themselves. You never heard of nothing like that. I didn't, and I've been in the world a long, long time. No need of telling how long, but no need of telling that. I expect you already know that. Nearly 90 years in the world, nearly 65 years preaching the gospel. Never got an invitation like you said. Never. And I don't expect if I live another 90 or nearly 90 years that I'll get another one like that. Think of nearly 200 people signing an invitation sent to a man to come and preach during this homecoming. But there's nothing else to make me happy. That's enough. Not that I'm so great, but I respect it for people of that type. And people of that type don't just respect you for little or nothing. You got to do something for to be noticed. A lot of people want to be noticed and done nothing. Well, that's bad. That's bad. But if you've done anything, people will find it out that it when Jesus was here, when John the Baptist was preaching in the wilderness of Judea. A multitude of people came to hear him, great multitude. And while they were listening to John, Jesus appeared. And John saw a fine opportunity to introduce Jesus to that multitude of people in the wilderness. You know what, you Bible readers know what John said. He introduced him, and I believe today every man that does anything worthwhile needs to be introduced. So John the Baptist stops his busy work that he was doing to introduce a man that he recognized in the audience that the audience didn't recognize. And he told them, behold, the Lamb of God's in our midst. But he's going to do something that the world can't do and nobody but him, take away the sins of the world. Amen. As the greatest John the Baptist had the privilege of introducing the greatest character that ever lived on this earth. But Jesus paid the compliment back. I think when people do good things for all of us, we ought to pay back every way that we can out of appreciation. And Jesus appreciated the introduction. Man standing in the midst of us, y'all don't know he's here. He'll take away the sins of the world. No greater introduction has ever been made. But Jesus paid it back. And he told that multitude something they didn't know. Among them born of a woman. That's sweeping the world. Among the whole world, born of a woman. None greater than John. You can't beat that. If Jesus hadn't have introduced him that way, he'd have been in debt to John. But he paid that debt. He told among them born of a woman, okay, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or who they are. John's greater than any of them. Wonderful introduction both of them made of each other. It's wonderful. And I think I've been introduced to you by our president of the National Christian Institute in the best way that he knew how to tell you who I was. And I think he made a pretty good out at it. And I want to thank you for introducing me and telling you about a few little things he knew about me. And he popped up here and told you that the governor of Tennessee made me a colonel on his staff. Well, when you go to material things, that's great. That's great. It's just material, nothing spiritual in it. But he said that. And I'm proud to know that he told you that. And then I went over to Africa. Brother Palmer, somebody met me here today, said they was Palmer's sister. Somebody can. I like to see anybody kin to Palmer. Lucian Palmer, one of the greatest characters among us today. He carried me to overseas. Twice he carried me, and the last time, around the world, introducing me to people I never would have met if it hadn't been for Lucian Palmer. And how grateful I am. And then the churches of Christ all over the country sent the money, of course. I don't know what my ticket cost. Don't matter, so I ride. It's wonderful. I know men that sent $1,000 apiece on that trip. I know them. Some sent more than that. It's a costly trip. And all of our expenses and hotels and everything, all of it paid in advance. That's something. And you need to know that, to know that that kind of people live in the world. Doesn't make Brother Keeble anymore, but just to know that people like that yet live in the world. And the president of our school, if it doesn't embarrass him, I'd like to tell some nice little things about him. I've told him several times, he didn't seem to get embarrassed. I believe I'll try him out this evening. President that's traveling with me frequently. They arrange for us to stay where he can look after me as I'm getting older and I'm subject to diabetic conditions, and he looks after my food and everything to see that I keep well. That's what the board of directors asked him to do, and he kindly consented. He carried me around. He wakes up in the morning before I do, and before I can get out of bed, he's shining my shoes. Now that's embarrassing if he doesn't look at it right. I hope you look at that all right. I've told this on to thousands of people. Just think of a preacher traveling with a boot black. That's what you call in the world today stooping. But he doesn't mind stooping. That's what Christ said for him to do. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt. When will he do it? In due season. And not only that, he has done so many things for me that I would have never got to go up to see the governor if it hadn't been for him. The governor told him to bring me up, and that's where I got my colonelship. I hope you'll carry me somewhere else, and you be sure if you can, carry me to heaven. If you ain't going that way, I'm going another direction. But anyway, I believe there's a man living in the world. He's on his way to heaven. You have to be to shine a man's shoes like that and become a servant. Yes, what you have to have Christ. Nothing but Christ will make you bow and stoop like that. I figured he stooped when he shined my shoes. And not only that, he does all the little things that he can do to make it pleasant for me. He sees that I don't eat the wrong thing. I sometimes get greedy and try to eat the wrong things. He can't eat that. Well, I mind, you know. That's the way to do it. And when you got a friend, always know he's a friend and love him as a friend. And friends are hard to find.
Amen.
I think I've said enough. He doesn't look like he's embarrassed. But now, you know, I don't think there's a happier man in the world than he is, men in the world, and we get together. Even stewardesses on the plane, they notice the care that he takes off. And they speak to him about it. How nice he is. Who is that gentleman? Now, it's nice to be get to the place you're known as a gentleman. Not many of them living, but but all right. We're just happy to be here. We've never been in a place that we're happier than we are here at this wonderful gathering of people on the homecoming of the older members of this congregation. And these elders must be real elders, or they wouldn't have had this on the program at all. But they got Christ in them. And they're overseers of God's church. That's what they are. And they're really looking after it. And the young man that preaches, these two preachers they got here, and the one leading the singing, that's a fine group. Three great men guiding this whole thing. It's wonderful. It's wonderful to be in their midst and see the Spirit demonstrated. This morning, I think it was this morning or sometime during our services, I don't know when I have cried when people were coming forward to confess Christ and to... I think it was this morning. Was it this morning? The lady and that's right, and her husband, and they come walking down the aisle together. And I figured that little baby on their arm, and mother and father coming down, one to be restored and the other to be baptized for remission of sins, that had been in the Baptist church and discovered that she was in the wrong church, and she was baptized. She was baptized for what reason? To get in the right church. To get into one that teaches at baptism. Now, she'd been baptized, but not for remission of sins. The church she's a member of, if it isn't an insult to you to call the name of the church, she was a Baptist, I learned formerly. But she was baptized, and today she's a Christian and left the Baptist part off. She put that on there, you're adding. God told us not to add, is that right?
Amen.
Amen. When you add another name and call yourself something the Bible don't call you, you're adding. He said, the man that adds to his word, the plagues that are written therein shall be added to them. You just can't miss it. You can't. I'm trying to get people to obey the gospel without adding anything to it or subtracting. What God says you can't take away. If you do your whole, your part will be taken out of the Lamb's Book of Life and out of the holy city. All of this is for your own good. If you're in the wrong church, in the wrong doctrine, obeyed the wrong teacher, somebody said, well, I'm father and my mother died in there, and I know she's in heaven. Well, I don't like to contradict people about their mothers because they love them so, but I sometimes say, your mother ain't in heaven yet. If she's in heaven now, she arrived too soon. You can't get to heaven till Jesus comes back. Is that right, brother?
Amen.
Ain't nobody rushing off to heaven. You're going to have to wait till the man comes down and has that in hand. You ain't been put on the right-hand side yet. Ahem. You know, I've been going to take this plane. You know, Brother Keeble, the thing that the world is starving for today is some plain preaching. Plain preaching. Talk plain. Don't hint. Don't anything I do despise or hate is to see a preacher, and I can tell the minute he starts it, trying to compromise. Teach something that suits people. Preach something that preaches Christ. And if people don't like it, then tell the people you're sorry. And I am. Jesus didn't suit nobody. That's the reason he got killed.
Amen.
come down here and displease the people, and they thought they'd close him out of business. But did you know they found out they put him in business? Greatest business in the world. He was able to do it after they crucified him. And his enemies put him in the grave and told him to put some guards there so he won't nobody steal him away. God dispatched an angel from heaven. Took an angel from heaven to do this. Somebody that could shine. Angel came down, and I'll pause here for station identification. Somebody said, what do you mean by station identification? I'm letting you know that I'm pausing here to let you know what station this message I'm preaching is coming over from. Station COC, Church of Christ. No other station carries this message. No others. Let me repeat again. I didn't get but one amen. And that was a dry one. But we just might as well say amen, brother. When a man's right, amen. Ain't no harm done. Many preachers could preach much better if the church would just nod their head and let them know the poor thing was getting along pretty well. You don't get good sermons because you don't say amen or preach the word preacher or that's right. Why, the preacher can do much better. Even the President of the United States waits for applause, making his little messages like he tried to make his messages. But you know he don't write his messages. No president writes his messages. Why? They haven't got sense enough. I don't mean no harm. This is no reflection. But the president don't never write his message. Somebody writes them for him that's got more sense. And then they mark right along in the message. They tell me where he is to wait for applause. And he sure do wait. And they mark it. And he waits for it. And he sure does get it. They applaud him. And without these applause, he couldn't make his speeches. And the papers would be glad to say he made his speech and nobody said nothing. People put that on the headline, but they can't do it. President of the greatest government in the world is the President of the United States. The greatest people in the world. And America today is feeding the world. Amen. And ain't no gospel, but amen's needed there. I'm glad I'm an American. I'm glad I'm born in America. They tell me I'm African, but no, I've never been there. My grandpa was, but he poor thing's dead. I'm still living. I got to tell you where I came from. I've been to Africa, and the first sermon I preached in Africa, 45 Africans come forward. 45 running down the aisle barefooted. But the gospel, they wasn't ashamed. Palmer put sitting up there behind me said, whispered back to him, sure, ain't I making it plain? yes, they understand it. You make it plain, and this whole audience understands me. I'm making it plain. I know when I'm making it plain. Everybody in here, I know that I haven't made a error yet. If you did, it was in language and not in doctrine. Amen. Amen. I know where I need an amen. 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 I'm so glad I'm here talking to friends. I may have a few enemies in the audience, but before I close, I'm going to make a friend out of some of them. Yes, one man told me not long ago, when I first heard you, I could have laid a brick on your head. I said, well, why didn't you do it? He said, I was just waiting to see what else you could say. He waited a little while, and the next time he was believing it. And I baptized him in Manitou River in a number of 115 baptized in one day. 206 baptisms in Bradenton, Florida in one meeting. 115 in one day. The largest church we got among the colored brethren today is in Bradenton, Florida. 286 baptisms in the first meeting. 115 in one day. Keeper didn't do it. What done it? The Word of God. I said, it's quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword. It's so sharp, it'll cut you loose from your mother and father. Yes, Jesus said, if you love father, mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Come telling me about your mama got to heaven and gone on to heaven. If she did, she's too soon. Oh, you ain't going to heaven till your judge comes back to judge her. You get her to heaven before she's judged. Might have to take her out. Don't never teach that to nobody that I want to die in the church my mother died in. Don't never say that. You say this, I want to die, get in the church that Jesus died for. Amen. For. Died for it. Bought it and paid for it with his death on the cross. That's the one I'm lifting up to you today. And I trust when the invitation is extended, many of you will walk out on his word this afternoon. Many of you, not ashamed, get courage enough to do it. Walk out and obey the God. About 3,000 obeyed it when it was first preached. The Bible said they were pricked to their hearts in the second chapter of the book of Acts. Peter stood up and preached the first gospel sermon. And just before I go into this sermon, I want to touch on some other little things and show you what you have to give up to obey the gospel. You have to give up a lot of things to obey the gospel. I was preaching once in St. Petersburg, Florida. One night the tent was put up and the lights was out on the ground and I could see. And I saw a young man throw something away like that. I was preaching, but I could see the lights of the tent. And he put on his coat, at least he borrowed a coat out there, and put it on, and come right on under and made the confession. After I baptized him, I was very anxious to know, what was that he threw away? He said it was a deck of dice. I had stopped him from shooting dice, and he's throwing them away. Wouldn't that be fine if I could head off every crapshoot in the world and make him throw his dice away? Amen. The gospel's what's needed. People shooting dice and lying and playing cards and gambling would be able to throw it all down if they would obey the gospel. Amen. I was preaching and standing in the audience. That night before I baptized 20. And when I extended the invitation, this white lady come down the aisle, and after I baptized me, she told me after we dismissed, I wanted to obey last night. I wanted to obey last night when you baptized those others. I said, why didn't you? She said, I had 5 decks of cards at home, and I wanted to go home and burn them up. What some of you say, I don't see no sense in burning up. No, that's the reason you got some at home now. Amen. A whole lot of hypocrites sitting in here, maybe in the Church of Christ. I don't mean no harm. Of you, some Church of Christ gets weak sometimes and buy cards and go to playing with the neighbors. But how are you going to convert the neighbors playing cards with them? Ain't nobody grunting now. Or amen. 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 I don't mean no harm. I'm just trying to clean up things. Is that right? Ain't a Christian in the world got a deck of cards in his house. No Christian wouldn't allow him that. Why, your children reared up in a home where cards are laying, where they can learn how to play them, learn children how to gamble? I think they're doing fine. Ain't nobody saying nothing. When you get out in deep water, things run quiet, you see. This is deep, it's awful deep, but it's true. Every Christian Indian has a deck of cards in his home of any kind, or a stick them in the fire when you go home tonight. Amen. Amen. Your brother, come on along. Oh, go along with me long as I'm right. Long as I'm right, go along with me. And you know, I tell you this. I believe I'm going to suggest a little bit. Tell the sisters, don't be too quiet, sisters. Don't let the brethren bluff you. You can say amen. Ain't no sin for you to say right quietly, not too much, we're just... I know they'd want to make like you're out of order, but they the ones out of order. Did you know? Sometimes a good old sister will say amen. I was preaching in Miami, Florida, and I established a church in Miami, the first church I established there, and I baptized an old lady by the name of Sister Beasley. And she was a Baptist for 40 years, and I baptized her. And after I baptized, I came back through that preaching going over my work. And I got to preaching that one night. And I got real tired. I got real tired, wet with perspiration. And I thought it's time to quit before I get too hot. And I said, in my conclusion, I'm fixing to quit now. And she hollered back to me. She said, don't you quit. Don't you conclude that. Don't you conclude. She hadn't got enough, you see. Well, I went on, preached a little while longer, and I said, in my conclusion, I shown up tired then. She said, don't you conclude. I said, don't you conclude. That old lady killed you, that old lady. And today I go through that preaching, and she's that way. She's really hungering for the gospel and never have got tired of it. I hope she'll never get tired. In my conclusions, I said, off time. And she told me not to conclude. And I said, I went right on preaching some more, because she said, don't conclude. And that was right down my avenue, because I didn't want to conclude. Did you know today? I hope to make it plain enough for everybody that's not a member of the Church of Christ to become willing to become a member. And if you've never been baptized, it would be fine if Brother Springfield and the other minister here, the sisters, they work it together, if they could be standing in that water 2 or 3 hours baptizing people that might possibly be in this audience, not members of the Church of Christ. What a wonderful time this would be. A great time. Did you know, I was invited to speak at Lipscomb in lectureship this last year, or last lectureship, and I've done something plumb out of order in a lectureship. In a lectureship, you're not supposed to do nothing but lecture. And me, poor thing, forgot and went to preaching. I don't know the nest, that's my profession. That's the work I've been doing for 65 years, and I've turned it loose for the gospel sermon, and here comes 25 members, students out of the gallery, high school, college graduates coming down to make the right in David Lipscomb College. And one of the greatest presidents of colleges in the world is that David Lipscomb. Athens Claypool is sitting on the platform with me, whispered to me while they were coming down the aisle. He says, Keeble, we're making history. Well, what did he mean by that? This is the first time this has ever happened in this college. 25, and Brother Cato, poor thing, got happy, and he got to watching to see where, said, Brother Keeble, y'all come some more. Y'all come some, and that urged me to go further, don't you? Preach the gospel in season and out of season. Amen. I was preaching. I know that's out of season. I've got sense enough to know when I'm out of season. Preaching at a college lectureship and preaching the gospel out of season. But the people were hungering for it, and they come down the aisle, every aisle, coming down my near, and one of them said to me, said, I'm in church, not in the Bible, and since I've been here, I've made up my mind to become a member of the Church of Christ. And he's a foreigner, too, and you know he wouldn't, why? He didn't want nobody to baptize him but me, and he said, I want you to baptize me. Brother Collins, the vice president, he said, Brother Keeble, they want him to, you to baptize me. That's just down my avenue. And do you know, when you preach the gospel like it's written, and that 115 obeyed the gospel there in Bradenton, Florida, somebody, there's a big cemetery up there below, above the tent meeting I was engaged in, and they asked me this. They thought this was a tough question. They said, Brother Keeble, if people die and are lost in these other churches, what come of all of them that's up there in the cemetery? The cemetery is about 2 blocks from the tent. Where did they go? I said, they're up there where you laid them at. They thought it's in heaven, you know. I said, they're waiting on the resurrection. Nobody going to heaven since Jesus left here. Nobody. Nobody. Last one, and he ain't been back. But when he comes back, he's coming back to judge the quick and the dead. And he's appearing in his kingdom. And he wants the word preached. I just hope this morning or this afternoon that I can cause somebody to fall out with the ways of sin. Somebody fall out with the doctrines of men. Somebody give up the doctrines of men. Somebody get out of human establishments called churches and get out of them and get in one that's spiritually established. Did you know Jesus, when he When he got ready to leave here, he had some business. And he had some business he wanted attended to. He picked out 12 men. And he told them it was expedient for him to go. And he told them he had to go away. And they were standing there right at the sepulchre. Standing there right then, Jesus was up there preaching. And did you not know, he told them, I've got to go. It's expedient that I go away. But if I go away, I pray the Father send you another comforter. One in my place. And did you know he left? Told them to stay right there. And did you know that he'd get up, he even told them the day, not the hour and the minute, but he told them the day, I'm coming out of the grave on the third day. Amen. And right now I want to tell you men that think you are somebody, that you can't trust men. I'm a man now. And he's going to get up. They should have stayed there and waited for him to see whether they had anything for them. Did you know when he went down in that grave and they sealed it, they gave him up. Nobody there to roll the stone away. But God, before God would be defeated, he dispatched an angel from heaven. You can't get away with God. Here comes an angel now. And the brightness of God and the glory of God was on the angel so strong until the men that was on God fell back like dead men. God will knock you down and not hit you. The power of God will knock you down. They fell back. Where's the men? They're gone. And many told to wait till he come back, and he had some keys for them, and he couldn't give them to them because they was gone. Man, you can't trust him in a tight spot. What did Jesus do? He walked out there and he met a woman. And the woman told him, he told the woman to tell the disciples to meet him in Galilee. And when he got out to Galilee, he met them. And he gave them the keys of the kingdom. They could have got him there at the grave, but they was gone. Why didn't he give them to women? He didn't want women to preach. He wanted women to raise preachers. Amen. Amen, women. Honor, it's honor, it's honor. Raise them. My mother raised me. I don't say it causes me, but she raised somebody. Just the reason I'm standing here today, and I'll tell you this too. After she raised me and trained me, I've come back after I read the gospel and baptized my mother that was in the Methodist church and didn't know she was wrong. Took the Bible and showed my mother she's in the wrong church, and she walked out and obeyed the God. And I baptized my mother with these hands. The greatest thing I've ever done in my life. You know, if I ever was happy, it's right now. Preaching to God. Now, we in the Church of Christ get happy, but we don't. You never know we're happy. We don't have fits and somebody has to hold us. Oh, I keep my right mind. God knows I want my right mind. I baptize my mother. We would like to see you baptized today for the remission of your sins and let Jesus add you to his church. I would like to see you turn your back on your mothers and your fathers and your husbands and your wives and your pastor. Turn your back on everybody but Jesus. Amen. Walk out on his word and trust him and confess that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And be baptized. What for? Wash your sins away. Amen. You can't get your sins pardoned at a mourner's bench. Never have but a man got his sins pardoned at a mourner's or not behind some stump. Amen. You get your sins pardoned right there in water baptism. Right in water baptism. Somebody said, I can't see nothing in the water. He didn't tell you to go down there looking for nothing. What did he tell you to do? Told you to go down there in faith, by faith. Don't go down there by sight. You never see nothing. Amen. I believe I'll say this and stick to it. Keep what you preaching now. I know I'm preaching. I know when I'm preaching. I read God's word. I know when I'm preaching. I know God's pleased with my teaching this afternoon. I know he is. In Acts 22:16, Ananias, down praying 3 days and nights. Chief of sinners. Jesus sent a preacher over down there and made him take him, get up. Tell him to get up. What must I tell him? To be baptized and wash his sins away.
Amen.
Let him get him up. He's been at it 3 days and nights. Ain't learned nothing yet. Get him up. And be baptized and wash his sins away. That's it. How many of you here today willing to bow? How many of you here today not ashamed? Don't mind people pointing at you with their fingers gone. You've got to stand before Jesus. I would to God somebody in this audience today is ready. Confess Christ. Go down in the watery grave of baptism. Be baptized and wash every sin away. Come out of the water, another man. Come out of the water, another woman. Brand new in the kingdom that Jesus bought with his blood. I wish to God somebody would come this evening. Somebody in here not ashamed. Somebody don't mind the world laughing at them. Walk out on God's word. Deny yourselves and take up the cross.
Amen.
Now's the time. You see it. You got plenty of sense. I can look at you and see that. Why not just bow to God's word and surrender? Lord, I come to thee. It's all that I can do. Take me. Use me to thy glory and to thy honor. Why not do that today? Now is acceptable time, and today is the day of salvation. I'm going to ask the song leader to come forward and lead the song while we stand and sing. Is there somebody ready? Is there somebody?
Holy and tenderly, Jesus.